Trying to predict all the effects of being offended is like predicting where all the waves will go when you toss a rock into a pond. When we react to an offense, some collateral damage is very likely. Today, join us for an eye-opening look into the unintended consequences of harboring an offense rather than seeking reconciliation. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on When You've Been Wronged. Listen now as we hear more of a message on the blinding power of an offense and on what offenses drive us to do.
Number four, you take the offense into other relationships. You take the offense into other relationships. Somewhere I read that 66% of all divorced people get divorced a second time. And I suppose the reason is because they take as much baggage into their new relationship as they had previously, maybe more baggage, more than might be in a Pullman freight car. And so they bring all of this into the second relationship, believing, of course, that they are not at fault, and possibly they might not be, but oftentimes unresolved issues spill over. And so what happens is the whole world revolves around the offense and the bitterness that lurks in the human heart. I love to tell that story, you've probably heard it before, about the man who was in a bar and someone took some strong-smelling rotten cheese and smeared it on the man's mustache. And so as he walked out into the night, in the clear air, he said, "The whole world stinks." Have you met people like that? They're bitter. They're going to make sure that you don't mistake the fact that they're bitter. And they want everybody to know that they are bitter, and they will manipulate and they will work. Number five is this, that a person who holds on to an offense succumbs to idolatry. I'm reminded of what John says in 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Well, the best way to illustrate this is to tell you a true story. When I was in high school, there was a student there who was involved in an accident, even though he recovered very, very well. But because of that, he had a physical characteristic that we made fun of. This was a Christian high school, and we all should have known better. But kids, you know, can be mean. And furthermore, he laughed along with us, so we didn't think that we were hurting him too much. And when graduation came, I went my way, he went his, and I never heard from him again. About 10 years ago, a mutual friend wrote to me and said that this man had left the church and had left God long ago, years ago, and he traces it back to the bitterness that he had because of the names that we called him and the things that we said about him in our meanness. Fortunately, this mutual friend sent me the address of this man, and I wrote a letter in my own handwriting begging his forgiveness. I told him that what we had done was unchristian, it was evil, it was indefensible. I gave no excuse. I didn't say, "Well, now, we didn't know we were hurting you." I gave no excuse. I humbled myself and simply said, "Nothing would delight me more than if you were able to forgive me." I've not heard from him. I hope that he did forgive me. But here's the point I want to make, and everybody needs to be really thinking about this for a moment. Believe it or not, that man actually had this offense as an idol. Because what he was saying is this: I'm willing to give up on God, until this other matter is resolved. And unless I can get vengeance or whatever else that he wanted, unless this matter is somehow addressed to my satisfaction, I can just tell God to take a hike. I can stop going to church. I can stop being with Christians. I can just do whatever I like because my relationship with God is negotiable. What isn't negotiable is justice or vengeance being brought to bear on a situation that pained me very, very deeply. You see the idols of the heart? Do you see how easily we're willing to give up on God and to put our relationship with him on hold until something else is resolved? Is not that idolatry? When we say something else is more important than my relationship with God, and that is the resolution of the evil that has been done against me. It's idolatry and has to be identified as such. What do we do about it? Very briefly, first, we must confront our idols. We must confront them. What is standing between you and your relationship with God today? Something that somebody did, some offense that cleaves to your soul. And you say, I can't walk with God. I can't be with the people of God because look at what has happened to me. It is the blinding power of an offense. And whatever you and I hang on to that is more important than loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul is idolatry. And we can't see those idols unless God reveals it to us. We really do need time in God's presence. Second, you have to turn this stumbling block into a stepping stone. You have to believe that God is saying to you, if you can overcome this in your walk, if you can overcome this, then you can go on to new heights and new challenges in your relationship with me. After all things do work together for good. But this, as I mentioned, takes a great deal of real honesty and humility and brokenness in the presence of God. And you know, denial is not just a river in Egypt. Am I going too fast for some of you here? If you don't take time, you'll deny that it's there. And of course, what we need to do is to follow Christ's example, who when he was reviled, reviled not in return. He uttered no threats, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. You have to give it to God. Oh, but you say, I've invested so much in it. I've had it for so long. I've made sure that these wounds would never heal. And now you're asking me to just give it up. Yeah, I'm asking you to just give it up. Just to lay it down. Remember that young boy converted at Cabrini Green? I told you about him several weeks ago when he was telling his friend what happened. He said, Jesus pulled all the sin out of my heart. Don't you love that? You're willing today to let Jesus pull that offense out of your heart? In a few moments, we're going to be sharing at the communion table here at the Moody Church. We're going to be reminded that Jesus Christ gave his blood and his body was broken so that we could be reconciled to God. And having been forgiven and reconciled, we now reconcile with others. My sister was a missionary in Africa, and she said that before communion, there was always about a 5-minute or 10-minute break between the service and communion so that people could go to one another and be reconciled. I think that's a great idea. Because the Bible says, examine yourself before you eat. Examine what is in your heart that stands in the way of your relationship with God. Now, we're not going to do that this morning because there may even be people who offended you who are not here today. You couldn't make it right if you wanted to. But I'll give you a week to work at it. But the main thing is that you and I come to this table today. We come to the Lord. And we say, God, I'm willing to give up my idols. I'm willing to lay them down. For some of you, that idol of pride has to be laid down, and you have to receive the forgiveness of Christ for the first time. You have to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. He died for people like you and people like me. For others who know him, there has to be that yieldedness and that giving up to God and to say, God, pull the offense out of my heart because it stands in the way. And then go to whomever you have to go to. It stands in the way of my relationship with you. It's the trap, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service. It's the trap that the devil uses to keep people bound. Be free today in Jesus.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I do hope that you will be free today in Jesus. I think that what the world needs today is a demonstration of the reality of the Christian faith. And the question is, what speaks most to our culture? Is it physical healing? I don't think so. Because even if you claim that you are healed physically, somebody is going to say that it has a naturalistic explanation. I mean, any doctor will tell you that there are always exceptions and always anomalies that cannot be explained. But when you have a marriage that is a difficult marriage, where a couple is separating and where there is hatred and where there are lawsuits, when you have a marriage like that, and suddenly there is forgiveness and reconciliation and talking and a meeting of the minds and the marriage is rescued, the world begins to understand that we as believers have a spiritual power that comes only to those who have trusted Christ as Savior. We should be different from the world. We should be able to get rid of those offenses. We should not hold them tightly to our hearts. And as this message has concluded today, I encourage you, wherever you may be, simply take the time to stop. Perhaps you're driving a car. You might want to drive onto a side street and say, oh God, today, in faith, I respond to the challenge of letting go of my bitterness and the offense that has blinded me to my own faults and need. Would you do that? And if you are willing to, I know that the grace of God will meet you wherever you are at. Do it, and do it right now.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Erwin Lutzer concluding The Blinding Power of an Offense, the first of 8 messages on when you've been wronged. Some people's children bring them nothing but heartache and grief, and that began at the very beginning. Tomorrow, don't miss The Challenge of Raising Cain. When You've Been Wronged is also a book by Pastor Lutzer, and this book will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about when you've been wronged when you call. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.